So there's a Lexus commercial that plays on, is one of the ads on some of the podcasts I listen to.
Okay.
And it starts with like, it's a holiday commercial.
The man Lexus.
Sorry, no, no, no. It's like, 'tis the season for toys, for gifts. And then it has like little sounds and then it circles back around to gifts. And it's a little beep, beep. And it's like with family, with whatever, with toys. And then you hear the sound of like a car engine revving. Yeah, thank you. I had the thought because it's like, come to Lexus on this holiday event. And I went, huh, interesting. I didn't know that Lexus made microwaves. Because it didn't occur to me that the beep beep in the beginning was not the sound of punching microwave buttons, but was... In fact, the sound of a Lexus opening.
How fast do you think microwaves go that they're selling?
Hey, Yamaha makes motorbikes and pianos.
I ain't never seen no one ride a Yamaha piano down the highway.
I ain't never seen a Mozart zipped human on a motorbike.
That's a lie. I have seen a human ride a piano down the highway. That was the Thousand Miles music video by Vanessa Carlton.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that one in the very beginning of a Goofy movie. I'm just thinking about being on the open road. There's that one guy riding in the back of a truck playing an upright piano.
No, my brain is too busy going.
Instead of on the open road.
Road.
Yeah. Anyways.
Vanessa Goofleton. And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And it has only now occurred to me that we have done 100 episodes of this episode plus now. 100 plus.
Yeah, we're at 106 now. This is our 106th episode.
And let me just say, only one of those episodes had to do with a show about me.
Maybe we'll do some more because we're coming up to the end of the year here. So maybe we'll do some more next year.
Yes, please. I'd love to do something that is absolutely not Doctor Who related. Damn it.
Why do we watch so much Doctor Who on this Doctor Who podcast? This is
dumb.
Well, today we are watching something Doctor Who related. We're going to watch a short written, directed and starring Fifth Doctor Peter Davison. Called okay. The Five-ish Doctors Reboot. And it stars him, Colin Baker, and Sylvester McCoy, and also technically Paul McGann, as the other actors that play the Doctor, while basically who all want to be in the 50th, but as you saw in the 50th, they didn't really show up.
Question, at this point in time, was David Tennant married to Davidson's daughter?
Not only were they married, they had children.
Okay.
So this seemed like, I think Peter Davison was like, I don't know if he knew that he wasn't going to be in it or if, but whatever the impetus was, he decided to just like, hey, between me and my son-in-law, we know basically everyone that has ever worked on this show. What if we wrote a script that just looped in as many people as we can? That are involved in this program, even just tangentially.
I suppose, yeah. There is no reason for them all to know each other inherently.
Yeah, not inherently. Like, obviously, they're like the doctors all kind of know each other from doing conventions and stuff together, from the multi-doctor stories and things like that. But Peter Davison knew the classic era production company. David Tennant knows the new era production company people. So
they joined forces like they would if they were Power Rangers.
Yeah, and so. Peter Davison had this idea for like, what are the rest of us doing while they're making the 50th anniversary? And he came up with this little 30 minute sort of comedy special.
Where did it air originally?
I believe this was entirely online. Like, this didn't air on TV. This was
on his blog.
This aired on WordPress. I think it was called, it was like on a BBC online service. I think it's called Red Button.
Okay.
Or basically it was just like a thing they put up online as like another piece of the 50th anniversary
celebration.
A little
treat.
Yeah. And it's very silly and very dumb. In a way that I think you're going to enjoy.
Of course. You said silly and dumb in the same sentence. Those are two of my favorite words.
Without going too much into it, this stars Peter Davison as Peter Davison, Colin Baker as Colin Baker, and Sylvester McCoy as Sylvester McCoy, etc. and so forth. This is supposed to be set in the real world.
Uh-huh.
And it's about these actors who want to be in the 50th.
Okay.
I don't need to spoil too much more for you than that, but I did tell you that this has a cornucopia of cameos in it, and cornucopia, so grown up,
so grown up, so Thanksgiving.
I don't think I talked about this in the 50th episode we did. There's a moment in the 50th where David Tennant says equidistant, so grown up. I've used that sentence so much, and I don't think you've ever picked up on me saying it because I just mutter it under my breath, and I know you didn't get the reference until now.
No, because I also say equidistant.
Yeah, so every time you say equidistant, I will then respond with equidistant, so grown up. Or anytime I use a nice $5 word, I want to be like, in this case, cornucopia, so grown up. It's just a tick that I have, but no one around me typically gets the reference. So it's a tick I do internally so much. Anyway,
it's also not such a blatant quote.
Yes.
That it's like, oh, you're quoting Doctor Who.
It's a little treat for me.
What are you, some kind of nerd?
Getting back to the special here for my little tangent. This does have a cornucopia of cameos in it.
I like the alliteration.
Thank you. I appreciated that. I liked it when I came out with that as well. And for your first question for the Cassie Perfassi today is a Cassie Perfassi point catch-up question.
We can come up with a better name for that.
Cassie Perfassi catch-up question. I don't know.
Cassie Perfassi
A Cassie Perfassi catch-up
question. It's a question where I can get extra points.
Yeah, this I will give you extra points for this one. As I've told you, this has a lot of cameos in it from people not just in the show, people attached to the show, people sort of like a stone's throw away from the show.
The key.
I will give you a point for every person you can name that actually shows up in this, with the exception of the doctors I just told you about. So that means you can't name Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann, Peter Davison, or Colin Baker. You cannot name any of those four. Anyone else that you think shows up in this special, that people who were on, and if you want to name the character they played in Doctor Who because you can't think of the actor's name, that's fine. But if you think you've got someone like, they might have like called in that favor. Even though they weren't part of the show, they might have called in the favor for the bit. I will let you name them, and if you are correct, you will get a point.
What if I don't remember even name? Like, if I just say each doctor's companion, because that's a big category.
That is a big category.
But I can only name Donna and Susan.
If you can gesture towards the one you're talking about.
All of them. Each and every single time that the doctor had a companion, a new companion.
Just because that's such a broad category.
I understand that, but I'm not wrong for saying it.
You aren't wrong, because there are some companions that show up.
Like, it's something where it's, say, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, well, I forgot about her. Whatever. Where it's like, that's not on me for not knowing.
Well, let me just check to see how many points that would get you, because if it's going to be too many, then I would have an issue, because I
already know one of the ones that I'm absolutely going to say, and I know that he's not in it.
Okay, who are you gonna say?
But if he is, I'm gonna freak out in a good way.
Tell you what, there are a handful of companions in here.
I would like to do the blanket of companion. I will name specific
ones.
Tell you
what, I will, if you're going to do it that way, I will just give you 1 point for companion. But if you want to name any of them, I will give you an additional point if you are correct. How about that?
Because I also don't think it's, I don't feel like it's a challenge to be like, oh, well, a companion, of course companions are going to show up and make a cameo.
Yeah. That's why I said
that doesn't feel like.
Yeah, I feel like there's no challenge to you just saying no. Companion.
But if I specifically say Donna, okay. Ace, Canine, 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 okay. Canine.
So you've said Donna, you've said Ace, you've said Canine, so that's Catherine Tate, Sophie Aldred.
Canine, Robot Dog.
Canine, perfect. Robot Dog.
Those are literally the only three that I remember. Susan,
okay. That's Caroline Ford.
I don't think that she does, but that would also be super dandy if she did, because I know that she's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Man, you can go and put the name down. I didn't put a limit on how many people you can name.
Tegan?
Okay.
This is also a quiz for me to see, like, how many people do I remember?
Okay.
I also don't know if any of these people are living or dead, but we're just going to list.
I will
everybody.
Say, to my knowledge, most people involved in Doctor Who.
Unless they were thrown out of a ship and then explode. Which brings me to Jamie.
Okay. This is a real.
It is a real.
A real, like, testing Cassie's trivia knowledge for mm-hmm. what she remembers about the show.
I'm also thinking, like, anybody who was younger. I feel like would absolutely still be, it seems that most of the time that would be so interesting. Hold on. Skirt. Young doctor with an older companion. Is there anything like that? Not just older, but like if the doctor had a companion.
So
that was
we
like,
haven't
oh,
got
Arthur.
Arthur.
Completely. Yeah.
Rory, you mean?
Yeah, Arthur Weasley.
Oh, gotcha. Arthur Weasley. I thought you were talking about Arthur Darville, Rory's actor.
Well, yeah, Rory, too. Like, okay. Rory, I consider him a companion.
Yeah.
Amy and Rory. But, yeah, I specifically was thinking about Arthur Weasley. I know that's not his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
And I don't have the luxury of looking at my phone. And looking at names. And then I could cheat.
So we got Donna, Ace, K9, Susan, Tegan, Amy, Rory, and Rory's dad.
Did you say Jamie, too?
Jamie McCrimmon.
Yeah, Jamie McCrimmon.
To answer your question about a younger doctor with an older companion, we do get that. That is with the 13th Doctor. The 13th Doctor has she calls her companions the fam, and one of hers is an older guy while she is, like, okay. You know, 30-something Jodie Whittaker. And keep in mind, I did also say people who are just like tangential, who are in the outer rim of the show. So you've got any ideas there?
Alex Kingston.
Okay.
Attached to the show, but not in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Murray Gold.
Murray Gold.
I don't know. I don't know what Murray Gold would look like. So I don't know if that is gonna.
I mean, it's a fine guess.
Look at me remembering names.
Because I mean, there are some people that I do not expect, like, you clearly would not know them. Like, they have the costume assistant has a cameo in the short. Like, it's like there's people that you're not going to know. There's no way you're going to name everybody. Mm-hmm. But there's also just, like, you know, people that have shown up that I'm curious to see if you think about them.
What the fuck is this riddle man question?
I'm trying to.
Any other person connected to the doctor? I want you to feel like I'm cheating you
if you see someone and you're like, well, how the fuck would I have thought of that, man?
Okay, yeah, dude. But also, like, I'm not very good at remembering anything. So when you give me any person who wasn't a doctor at the same time. I don't know. That could be anybody.
Which doctor walked on two legs and then three legs and then one leg?
Yes. That's what this feels like. Which doctor both had and hadn't an assistant?
Like I said, I was just letting you know that I only said you couldn't name those four doctors. If you think another doctor shows up, you have.
I mean, because then that just opens the floodgate of, like, Peter Cushing.
Okay.
Who wasn't a doctor.
Okay. You could say Peter Cushing. Actually, Peter Cushing would have been. No. Would he have been dead?
I don't know. I mean, if you're looking it up, then I get the feeling he's probably not
you
in this.
You are correct. He's not in it. He is named in it.
Okay, well.
Yeah, yeah. He died in 1994. Yeah, he's long dead.
Any of the Masters?
Okay. I'll take that. Any of the Masters is a perfectly fine take.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun. I don't know that they would. I want to make sure I get his name right, because I know one of them is Roy Skeleton, right? And then Nicholas Briggs.
Oh, we're talking about the actors that play the Daleks?
Yes.
Okay.
I just think that would be fun if they have the opportunity to be seen.
Okay.
And not heard.
Yeah, I think that's fun. Yeah, absolutely. They just don't, like, you just, Nicholas Briggs is just standing there, doesn't say a thing.
He doesn't say a thing, but he's holding a wire whisk and a toilet plunger.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple on this list I am a little surprised you haven't guessed yet.
Which one is vacant in your brain but present in mine? Okay. Rude. Are you at least impressed by the people I have?
Yeah,
said?
I'm super impressed. The fact that you whipped out Ace so quickly genuinely surprised me.
The fact that I whipped out Roy Skeleton. Hello, I pay attention to the credits sometimes. Like, who else is there? Who is and isn't? Do you like my impression of you in this moment?
Your impression of me sounds like a gnome asking a riddle. You cannot cross the bridge, you see, until you answer my riddles 3. Who are some actors connected to Sylvester McCoy?
Like, is there like a specific person you're really trying to...
There is a companion I'm surprised you haven't mentioned.
I said companions!
And we agreed that it wasn't enough of a challenge for the question.
Oh my god, a companion I haven't mentioned. Mm-hmm.
It was one you really liked.
Connected to Sylvester McCoy?
No, this companion in particular is not connected to Sylvester McCoy.
Donna.
There was another companion.
Donna again.
Dr. Donna.
A companion I really liked. Okay, hold on, may I ask, mm-hmm. classic or new?
New.
Okay. Oh, Rose.
Okay, you want to guess...
I mean, well, because she was and wasn't in.
Yeah. I mean, I will say there are people that appear in both.
Okay. So, yeah, Billy Piper.
Okay. All right.
New companion?
Any other guesses you want to make or we want to?
I mean, if there are people that appear in both, Clara.
Okay. You could say, you can absolutely say Clara.
Like David Tennant?
You could say David Tennant.
Baby girl, Davy Tenny?
Because that would certainly be a favor that Peter Davison could call in. Hey, David, since you're fucking my daughter.
Ew, Zach.
Since you're the father of my grandchildren.
Much better.
Since you're the father of my grandchildren, can you do a cameo in my little short Doctor Who special, please?
After you helped me get everybody involved on board, can you please do a favor for me? What other companions were there? Because it was like Rose forever. Mm-hmm. It was Donna forever.
I mean, Donna only had one season. There was Martha in the middle.
Martha.
Martha, Martha, Martha. Any other guesses?
I'm going to be pissed because I don't think I've said it yet.
You have not. And you probably will be pissed.
Oh, man. You said it was new?
Mm-hmm.
oh, Harkness, Jack Harkness.
You have to Jack Harkness, okay. All right. Well, since I gave you the hint for that one, I'm gonna call that the cutoff point. As you know, have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 guesses.
Can I get two more?
I will give you two more if you want around 20.
Yeah, I would like around 20.
All right. I cannot give you any hints, though. You have to guess them.
What was the other? Because I remember making the joke of Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, Tegan and Nyssa. Nyssa,
thank you.
Okay.
I was like, it still had 4 letters. There was an S and an A in it.
Nyssara?
I'm very good at remembering some things about people's names. Not everything. Just enough. Just in a little bit. What is one more? Wouldn't it be wild if just Doug Jones popped up?
Do you want to take a wild swing and see if somebody that you, like someone way out of left field?
I'm going to say yes, but I'm going to take a wild swing in the opposite direction. Rowan Atkinson.
Okay. All right. Rowan Atkinson is your final guess.
Yeah.
All right. That works for me. And then the reason I had to ask that Profassi question first.
So this is 20. So
you've got an even 20 guesses. Technically, there's some there's an asterisk of any of the masters, but a lot of those actors have passed away.
Yeah.
So I'll still allow it.
So it's also I don't.
Yeah, really. I think there's only two of those. I think it's Anthony Ainley and John Sim will be the two master actors that I believe are still alive at this point. And the reason I had to ask that question first is because my second question does give at least one of those names away. And okay. So I didn't want to spoil it for you. And I wanted to see if you would guess it, and you didn't. The second part of the profession today is, Cassie, do you know what the T stands for in Russell T Davies? If it means anything, I'll tell you Russell T Davies is his stage name. It is not his legal name. Russell T Davies is a name he has given himself. So he has chosen what the T stands
so
for.
So it's like how the E in Chuck E. Cheese stands for entertainment
basically. Yes.
Okay.
Russell T Davies does have a cameo in this, and he does tell you what the T stands for in his cameo.
Television.
Russell Television Davies.
I mean, it is like the E in entertainment.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Tentertainment. Russell Tentertainment. Just to get, I'm not giving you a misdirect. It does genuinely begin with the letter T.
Yeah, right now.
Can I tell you something even funnier? I did tell you once what it stood for, but I think that was 2 years ago at this point. So I'm sure you flushed it.
Yup.
I think you flushed it as soon as that recording was over.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you, even if I sat here and made a big spectacle about flipping through my journal to see if I wrote it down. I did not. I know I didn't. My notes are not helpful. I just do it.
So because it wasn't part of the episode, it was just a thing I had said.
Oh, I definitely didn't write it down then.
Yeah, you don't listen to a word I say long enough to write it down.
Nah, not usually. can I ask, is it a noun or an adjective?
Neither.
Interesting. Okay. Is it place?
No.
Are we playing 20 questions now?
I guess so. Yes. You got 20 answers and now you get to give me 20 questions.
So it is not a noun or an adjective or a place. So it's another name then.
I honestly don't know how you would classify the word.
A title?
Sort of. I feel like I'm only raising further questions for you.
Well, because now I'm like, is it a name in the sense of like it could stand for tinker where it's like, oh, that was an occupation for somebody.
Yeah.
So could it be that the T is like
Russell Thomas, Thomas Davies?
Yeah.
Thomas, sir. Thomas, Thomas.
It's a title ish.
Yeah, I would say it's a title ish.
Like I'm thinking if you were to say that your middle initial was S and that stood for like sergeant.
Russell 310 to Yuma. Davies.
Let's start with T, technically.
It does indeed. Russell Titanic Davies.
Russell Titanic.
He did make a whole special about the space Titanic.
About the Titanic. Tiamat. Final answer.
Okay, Tiamat. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we will find out together if any of the names Cassie picked out get her bonus points for the first Cassie Profassi question. And if Russell T. Davies, if the T in Russell T. Davies stands for five-headed D&D dragon goddess Tiamat.
Yeah, it's made up, dude. Like, that's not a real thing.
We will find
that's
out
a title?
Together as we watch.
What could it be? Russell Title Davies? That's stupid. Tiamat? Way cooler.
Tyrannosaurus. Russell Tyrannosaurus Rex Davies.
Hey, it was Typhoon. All right. I was going to write down Typhoon and then I remembered Tiamat.
We will find out together as we watch the Five-ish Doctors reboot.
I'm going to change my name to Tiamat now. That's cool.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by the Mancrowave, the only microwave that infuses your food with the masculine energy you need to take on the day.
Hey, what are you doing? This is my turf.
I'm sorry, hadn't you heard?
Heard? Heard what?
Well, the producers found your approach a little too aggressive for their new line of products, so you've been... I'm your replacement.
Oh.
I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
But how am I going to support my man family?
Well,
I'm still making loan payments on my man car.
Look, I'm not...
I can't believe I have to look my man children in their man eyes and tell them man Christmas is ruined.
Is everything in your life man-related?
No, my broken heart is a universal condition all people can relate to, regardless of gender identity.
I'm just gonna go. This is more than I signed up for.
The Mangrowave, the only microwave that hunts down the food it cooks.
And we are back from the five-ish Doctors reboot.
I saw him, my boy.
Well, you saw both your boys, Cassie.
He was there. only for a moment.
So many of your boys are in this. K-9,
I'm Paul really McGann, mad I didn't think to say Dalek, because Dalek are plentiful.
I mean, you did say the Dalek. You did say Nicholas Briggs.
I did say
Nicholas
Briggs.
You did get a point for Nicholas Briggs. So.
I'm very upset he wasn't holding a whisk and a toilet plunger. Instead, he was reading Dalek Operationals. What was it? Guidebook?
Dalek Operationals manual or something like that. Dalek Operators magazine or something like that. I do think it would be funny if one was if like the one on the left was reading a baking magazine and the one on the right was reading something about like toilet plungery.
I was gonna say if one was reading a book about flamethrowers, that could be an interesting
fire
callback.
Extinguishers.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was the five-ish Doctors reboot.
You silly.
It's very silly.
It's so silly. I didn't take a single note because I was like, this is just so. It's just like there's a part of me that's like bummed out that the overall feeling is that the five previous Doctors felt like nobody cared about them. I'm like, that's sad.
I mean,
they don't feel like anybody loves them.
I do feel like you wouldn't write this if you genuinely felt that way. Like you wouldn't explore that emotion if you were like, I'm going to be genuinely upset not being in it, where they're like, they're good natured about it. They're just being silly.
Because it's also like, you know, to say it bluntly, like they're all old men now. Mm-hmm. Like there is a part where it's like, I mean, if I have a nice house and a lovely family and I've done my time.
Like they're dads and they're.
Or they're working on The Hobbit.
Yeah, they're working on The Hobbit. Paul McGann, like they said, film stuff regularly. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't think they're like doing a ton of like they're not like overbeared in work. But I do think Peter Davison, Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy are all working regularly.
Do they still get work, but
yes, I do like that they keep like talking down the Hobbit movies. Like this isn't some flash in the pan $500 million picture. This is serious.
I don't know why I completely wiped Sylvester McCoy being involved in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
A movie I watch pretty regularly.
Yeah. I was sitting here wondering if you were going to just guess if
no.
I had mentioned a couple episodes ago that Peter Jackson loves Doctor Who.
Yeah, and he wants to direct an episode of Doctor Who. He hasn't directed.
Yeah.
If you had poked and prodded, I would not have said Peter Jackson and fucking Sir Ian McKellen.
Should I say
Gandalf? Because he wasn't not in makeup.
Yeah, and also Sir Ian McKellen was also in Doctor Who in the last Christmas special. He was the voice of the Great Intelligence before it got passed on to Richard E. Grant when he was just the giant snow globe. So technically he is someone that was in the show that they looped in.
There are times where I'm like, you fucking... get better memory. That's why I stopped smoking weed. Fun fact. If you want to know the real truth of the matter, I stopped smoking because I thought for a half second, I'm getting dumber and dumber by the minute.
I mean, I will say that
my memory is gone.
For the wide open field that you had of options. Yeah, I think you did fairly well. You got nine points out of your 20 guesses.
Yeah, I would have liked 10.
It would have been nice if you could have gotten 10. But, you know, that's an additional 8 points on top of the 1 point for the Prefacy question. You don't get the answer for Russell T. Davies because it was Russell the Davies. Funny. But
yeah, they're watching just Russell T. Davies exist, even in a more exaggerated form. It's no wonder you like the show. You two might be cut from the same stupid cloth.
Well, just, I mean, watching.
And by stupid, I mean.
I really appreciate that they decided to write these three guys as being like, there's something really charming about the three of them, the way they're written.
They're written, though, as if they are has-beens.
Yeah, they're written like has-beens, but they're has-beens with ego. That's the part that's, it's like, there are people who are like, well, clearly I'm going to be invited into this. I'm very important to the show. And they all like bicker and fight. And then one of my favorite scenes in it is Colin Baker being like, ooh, I have a package that arrives. Oh, look, it's one of me, one of my favorites. Let's all watch it as a family. I've locked you in the house. It's got extra special features, even more of me.
As if he didn't already own those.
Well, that was the thing he said. It's like, to replace the one that mysteriously disappeared.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
I love the implication that his family of daughters like regularly like burn, break, destroy his DVD so he can't have family watch me night.
As a daughter whose dad would do the same thing, whose CDs would also just kind of go missing. I get it.
I like that Peter thinks that his family's going to be devastated that he's not in the 50th and his kids do not care. Like,
aren't those grandkids?
Those are his kids. He happens to have both grandkids and actually younger children. I mean, now those kids are both 10 years older now, so they're adults now. But at the time he had both Georgia Tennant, who is a, you know, adult woman, but he also had two, I think, teenage children as well. You also saw one of his grandchildren who played Ty Tennant, I believe is their name, who played one of John Barrowman's secret children, which that's another one of my favorite things is that John Barrowman is like, you can't tell anyone this is a huge secret I have, and the huge secret is that he's straight. It'd be really embarrassing if anybody found out.
You had pointed out Sean
Pertwee is the very first face you see is Sean Pertwee and Olivia Colman.
Jeezies, does he not look like his father?
Right? Like, if it wasn't
also, in all fairness, too, John Pertwee, in every special we watched, looked the same.
Yeah, it's just Sean, I think that Sean grows his stubble out. That's the main difference.
I think the biggest thing is that they might just be born old.
I should find that picture for you, because I think I told you... there was a Halloween where Sean Pertwee had decided to dress as the third Doctor, and it confused his own mother. His mother went, I don't remember this picture of John, of your father. And he went, that's because it's me, Mom.
I would love to be in a spot where I could name my child a name that is mine, but not.
Lassie.
Yeah. Lysandra.
Spelled L-Y-S. Andra. This is a fun little thing. I'm glad that they made this. This was a fun little addition to the 50th anniversary that it lets them be in it without them having to shoehorn them into the special. I do wish there had been like a home for them. Like, there's a part of me that wants that, but there's also a part of that's like, this is really silly and it only works because they weren't in it.
Yeah.
I
like them including Paul McGann. I know that there is not a reality where they wouldn't.
Speaking of the other doctors, yes, they do include Paul McGann. They also don't include Tom Baker because, according to Peter Davison, Tom Baker never responded to his emails. And so their get around for it was to hire the guy that voiced Tom Baker for Big Finish before Tom Baker decided to do them himself, who does a spot on Tom Baker impression, like that voicemail.
If you hadn't told me.
Yes.
Like if you had told me that was all he did to contribute, yeah. I would say, okay, yeah.
But yeah, their joke was that instead they just used the same clip from Shada that they had used in the original Five Doctors. Just, oh dear, it appears I've been sucked up into the time vortex again. One of the greatest errors of my life. I
have fun, dears. It ends with something like that. That made me go, I'm going to rewrite my voicemail now to just have it end with, have a good day, dear.
I also wonder if they had to call it the five ish, because there's not five. There's like 3.5, maybe 4. If you want to put like Paul McGann's cameo and David Tennant's cameo together.
Yeah. Well, and Matt Smith.
Matt Smith has a little one at the very beginning. He was like, oh, I'm so happy you're here.
You were my favorite.
I was like, you were always my mother's favorite. Then it like it backs up again. You were always my favorite. Which is mostly really funny to me that like the idea that Peter Davison would be so insecure when his own son-in-law is maybe the most famous actor to play the Doctor.
Yeah.
And Peter Davison genuinely was his doctor and is now his father-in-law. God, I think that's so silly. And then Georgia Tennant, Peter Davison's daughter / David Tennant's wife, was the producer on it and also has her own couple of cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them seem to be jokes about her, about them having kids all the time, because I think they have like 4 or 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I think one of them was from before they were married. I think one was someone that David adopted that was Georgia's kid from a previous marriage.
Mm.
But still, they have like 5 kids, I think. So the joke at the time was that she was popping them out. Like the first time we get the first joke about it is that she ignores the call from her father because she's eating ice cream and celery.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, David's like, I feel like there was something I was supposed to ask her about, but I can't remember what it was. Cut to her like giving birth. And David's like, oh, I'm on set right now. I can't.
I'd be so mad. As a woman, I'm like, infuriated.
Yeah,
I know it's a bit, but oh my God. Yeah. Although I also do understand if that's like your third or fourth kid. It's not as special.
Yeah, it's not that special anymore.
Like the first two, pretty special. After that, it's just
going to the gym.
Yeah. You know, the gym that you only go to once every 9 months.
The rest of the year, just paying a fat tax for your gym membership.
Sylvester McCoy is just kind of he might also fit the description of just a little guy.
Well, he does, even now in his older age, is very good at face acting.
Oh my God. It's one of my favorite things, like as a, as a has-been comedian. Say, as a person who used to do improv and
as
did
a has-been yourself, Cassie, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Watching this?
Well, because it's something with like that's always one of my favorite things to do, at least like back in my performing days, is specifically, I know that we've made it a thing in D&D of speaking in eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something very particular and something that I personally really enjoy in face acting. Mm-hmm. Because that can communicate so much without saying a word. And especially he has a very like a rubber face.
Yeah, like his eyebrows can really move and he's really good at like moving his cheeks.
And whoop. Are we good? Did I break
it? Yeah,
it
should be fine.
And because of our three protagonists, he does not look like just a
dude.
He doesn't look like just another like old British white dude. Like he is smaller than the others.
It makes for a good foil. They the three of them together actually make for a really good like visual comedic trio.
Because there prior to this, there was no other. Was there another thing where the three of them would be performing together in this capacity?
No, just they've done like conventions and stuff, but they've never had a crossover together.
Granted, I recognize in this they are not performing as their doctors, but yeah. It's also. It would be dishonest to say like, oh, the doctors are completely different characters from the no. Like, I think the only one that would have a completely different personality from their doctor would be David Tennant. And that's only because David Tennant is not a British man.
I mean, I do think there's a lot of
like personality wise. But if we're boiling it down to who is the most unlike their character.
Mm hmm.
I would say it's Tennant, if only for the fact that he cannot speak in his normal brogue.
I do think there's something to Doctor Who where the actors put a lot of themselves into their portrayals.
I think you have to.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a long. It's a, so part of the reason why a lot of the doctors don't stick around is that it's kind of a brutal filming schedule. It's a lot of long days for extended periods of time. And so I imagine that when you're doing something for that, for those extended periods of time, if you're not putting yourself in the doctor, it becomes an even more exhausting process.
Well, that too. And when you have a legacy of a character that changes depending on the person who is playing it, why would you get hired for that role and decide that you are going to do something completely out of left field and something unlike yourself? You were chosen to do that role for a reason. Very similar to like how, like when you're making a character for D&D, no matter how different your characters are, you are the person that is creating them. Therefore, they will all still feel like you. Mm-hmm. So I think this kind of filters into that same thing of, despite whoever is portraying the doctor, the doctor is simply a title.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter if you are somebody who is pouring into the character and really like getting into the lore and wanting to change up specific characteristics or, you know, come up with isms or little tics. At the end of the day, the thing that is going to be most clear and most believable is if you input about 80% of yourself into this doctor, into this label,
mm-hmm.
if for no other reason than people don't want to see you playing a completely out of bounds character, you know, like it would not be fun to watch. Like it would not be fun to watch a David Tennant portray the doctor as if he was Barty Crouch Jr.
Yeah.
You know, like it's entertaining to think about. And now I'm going to be stuck on that way for a little bit of what if Doctor was Barty Crouch Jr. But yeah, I definitely think that there is something to be said about imbuing the character with a large number, or like with, like I said, about 80% of your own essence.
Yeah.
And so when you remove that character, when you remove the costume, you remove the script, and you are just yourself, it still is engaging and fun to watch because
mm-hmm.
You are not the character, but the character is you.
Yeah. I feel like they play with that a little bit too, where they have this moment where they're all protesting that no classics, no 50th is the sign Peter Davison is holding. Meanwhile, Sylvester McCoy and Colin Baker are just sitting in their chairs off to the side.
Drinking tea
and quoting their own portrayals at each other.
Like, that's so funny.
Like, it really sort of ties it back. It's like, it's a real chicken and egg situation. Like, are these people playing the doctor, or is the doctor now playing them? And they've like so gravitated into these roles that they're like,
I mean,
intrinsically tied to it.
Same sort of dealio. I'm bringing it back to D&D again, baby. But that's like after we had been playing for a very long time, specifically when we were doing the Peregrine campaign.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that I would do for Peregrine specifically that now I just do because my brain went, ang, I love this. Ang. And so it is, you know, it's a vicious cycle of, is this something that is the character and now is me? Was it me and the character brought it out? Is it both? I do like that when you very first see the actors, like just picking up their phones, they're wearing things to allude to their particular doctors. So like Baker was wearing a very brightly colored like gingham plaid shirt
mm-hmm.
with lots of stripes of colors on it to emulate his coat.
Yeah, Sylvester McCoy's always wearing a hat.
Yeah, Sylvester McCoy's wearing a hat and he has on like a lighter color tan jacket.
Mm-hmm. The entire time Peter Davison is wearing a t-shirt version of his doctor outfit.
Oh my God, we didn't even bring up McGann's slutty little cardigan. Oh.
Yeah, Paul McGann grew out a beard, put on a like slutty little sweater.
Yeah, a nice little like green sweater.
Yeah, a thick knit cut. What a whore.
What a whore. What a snack. What a tasty little morsel.
What a tasty little haunted Victorian doll.
Oh my God, it's just the eyes. There is something, in all fairness, it's a quality that any blue eye-having person has.
What are you trying to say, huh?
I'm saying that you all look like you're haunted by the ghosts of Victorian children.
We're haunted by the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. Look at my sister.
Haunted. All of you. Possessed.
Yeah.
You the power of Christ compels you.
You don't get the gift of these beautiful hazel eyes like I have. Behind these hazel eyes, there is a man. And inside the man, there's his nucleus.
I do like that they break into the Doctor Who experience and find their own costumes. But because they've all like aged and have gained weight in their old age, all they could take are the jackets. And then they wear the T-shirt versions under their jacket.
It's silly. I like that they all had the T-shirt versions, though.
Yeah, they all had the T-shirt versions. And then they walk in to the new TARDIS set. They're all complaining about oh, man, it's like, I don't like this dramatic lighting.
Where's the wobbly?
It's like it does.
I miss the wobbles.
I don't like these stairs. It's too there's too much action here.
What's with this mood lighting? You can't see anything.
I like to see what I'm doing.
Why
is there spinning up there? Have they turned it into a helicopter?
I am a little bit upset that none of them said, oh, they redecorated. I don't like it.
They said that just elaborating on it.
They do step into the first TARDIS so that they have at the Doctor Who experience. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is not the real TARDIS.
Really? How did you gather that? I love Colin Baker's has dialed in the ego on his version of himself so perfectly because everything he said made me laugh in this special because it's so like. I'm the smartest one here, and the rest of you are weighing me down. I would be in this if it wasn't for you.
Do you want to hear something funny?
What's that?
Colin Baker reminded me the most of you.
Not surprised. I mean, I feel like Colin Baker's doctor also reminds you a lot of me, too.
Just somebody who looks a fool, but is the most poised of all of them.
It's... There, and Sylvester McCoy reminded me a lot of you, so it works out.
Yeah, sneaky. He's just a sneaky little guy.
I want to go home now.
just so upset being illuminated by phone lights inside of what is effectively a water closet. I want to go home now.
I think that's my second favorite moment of the three of them is them trapped in the TARDIS. But then I think my favorite is when they're all inside the Daleks. And so to communicate that they're talking, they are genuinely moving the Dalek parts around.
I like that they're nodding the eye stalks up and down to say yes.
Or when Peter's like, how do we get out of here? And you can see him wiggling the arms around. They all wiggle the things back and forth.
I want a Dalek outfit so bad. Oh, my God. The second I don't have something to do.
Yeah, this was
Dollar Store Dalek.
This is so silly and so fun.
It's so charming.
Can I tell you something really frustrating?
Well,
they were going to do a sequel to this.
No!
They had apparently Peter Davison had written a script to do it again for the 60th anniversary, and the BBC would not let it happen.
Man.
They said no. And I'm so angry. Of all the decisions the BBC has made in the last 5 years with the show, nothing has made me angrier than learning that fact that they had another one of these on deck and didn't do it.
I wonder why.
I don't know if they were if it was a budgetary thing, because the BBC's budget has been drastically cut by Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason why Doctor Who needs a streaming partner to help pay for production costs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the show's very expensive to make and the BBC doesn't have money because the British government has destroyed their economy.
Really?
Who would have guessed that? If only someone had warned them. So Brexit has kind of destroyed the economy. I don't know if that, because this clearly didn't cost much to make.
Didn't cost much, but everybody involved in it, oh my God. Everybody who was involved and makes a cameo, that was a voluntary basis, yeah?
I think I don't know, because this was genuinely produced by the BBC.
Yeah.
So I would have to assume
produced,
that.
But I also.
Well, I have to assume there's at least some kind of union, like you did get paid for the day of work you did. To my knowledge, I don't think anyone.
Particularly like, when you have somebody like Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah, like I said, I really don't know.
And Peter Jackson, who are not associated with Doctor Who, but especially in that context, are on the set for The Hobbit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is also you have to remember that, like, the guy that comes into Sylvester McCoy's trailer to try and get him was one of the assistant directors on the set of The Hobbit, too. So they are genuinely filming that in New Zealand. So I imagine they would have had to just, like, get someone there on set to do that for them.
Like, if you had told me somebody had their own DSLR camera and was just and filmed it and then just sent the memory drive through the mail. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Can I tell you something that I think is kind of funny? This was nominated for a Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation going up against The Day of the Doctor.
Can I also tell you something?
What's that?
I didn't think Nicholas Briggs looked like that.
Yep, now you know.
Now I know.
That is genuinely Nicholas Briggs sitting next to David Troughton, who's Patrick Troughton's son. He does not look as much like his father as Sir Ron Pertwee does.
No.
And the guy next to him, I believe, is just a comedian that is also a Doctor Who fan. I don't believe he actually has any connection to the show itself.
Other Amazing. Than just
being, like, semi-famous in the UK.
I'm sure that he was a friend of somebody there who's like, hey, do you want a small part?
Yeah.
Want to make a cameo?
They called in every favor. Like, that was a lot of people were genuinely just like their family, like Colin Baker's family. Is all actually his wife and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So I am curious exactly how Colin Baker locked the doors from the inside. Because that's not how house doors lock. You're not supposed to lock yourself inside.
Yeah, not typically, but I don't know. Maybe TV money gets you.
Gets you fancy locks.
Gets you serial killer locks. Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy this. I'm glad we got to watch it. I'm glad we had a good time. I'm glad you got yourself some Professy points.
Yeah. So for anybody keeping track at home, which I doubt anybody is except for me, prior to filming this, I had 145 correct out of 230.
Okay.
So with the 9 additional points.
Yeah, you got 9 points. For 2 questions, basically, because you've missed 1 question and then you got so you need to add 2 to your total, but then you can add 9 to your total points given. By the end of the show, we're going to find a way to like get you more points than you've had questions.
That'd be fun. So now it'll be 154 over 232.
OK. All right.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. All righty. Well, next week we have another little special thing that they had made for the 50th anniversary. This is something that I found really sweet, and they've talked about also doing a sequel to it because it just kind of works as an idea. What we're going to watch next week is called Adventure in Space and Time, and it is the story of William Hartnell as becoming and like his journey as being the first Doctor, like not a story of his doctor, the story of the actor Bill Hartnell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of like behind the scenes production stuff and including Delia Derbyshire is in it.
My girl.
Yeah. So we will see about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Why do you have to elaborate on the pregnant pause? Just let me have this.
Thank you all so much for listening to another episode. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as we did. Feels good to be doing some interesting stuff that isn't the regular show, especially after such a long string of doing anniversary specials, and even the Night of the Doctor still feels like the regular show. This feels like something totally different, and it was a really nice little detour that we've got here. And we'll have another one next week with An Adventure in Space and Time. So I hope you'll be here next week for that. If you'd like to hear that episode right now, though, you can join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. Special thanks go to our $5 Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. Next Tuesday, we get to watch a movie. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.